This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page. إن شاء الله تعالى today we're on page 73. And we are now coming towards the end of Surah Ali Imran, and it is the fourth juz. We are still speaking about the final or so few verses concerning the Battle of Uhud and some of the lessons and principles that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned therein. And from that which we mentioned in our last episode is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the station of the martyrs and their reward and their position and the favors that Allah Azza wa Jal and blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that the people of martyrdom, like all of the believers, haven't really truly died, but rather they are enjoying the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and His favors. And likewise, the disbelievers, that is also not the end for them, but instead of having Allah's blessings and favors, they have punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the life of their graves. Today we begin from verse 172, and that is the last couple of verses on the previous page, which we left because it is connected to the verses of this next page. And it is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين استجابوا لله والرسول من بعد ما أصابهم القرح للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم. Those who responded to Allah and the Messenger after suffering defeat, who do good and remain conscious of Allah, they will have a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 172, He speaks about something which took place after the Battle of Uhud. So one of the things that isn't very well known, people aren't really aware of it, concerning the story of the Battle of Uhud, is actually the Battle of Uhud was not the end. So that day doesn't finish with what takes place on the Battle of Uhud. So we know that the Muslim army was routed, 70 odd companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were martyred, a number of others were injured, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a number of the companions extracted themselves towards the mountain of Uhud, and they sought shelter in a cave there. And that is what Abu Sufyan starts to boast and call out and claim that Allah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been killed, that Abu Bakr has been killed, that Umar has been killed, and so on. And he starts to praise his idols and gods that they worship besides Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands Umar radiallahu anhu to respond that Allah is greater, that he hadn't killed the Messenger of Allah, that all of everything that he thought that he had accomplished actually hasn't been accomplished. And so the Quraysh army, now that the battle has finished, leave the battlefield, they go towards Mecca. And the Muslims come down and they obviously see what took place to their dead, to their brothers and so on and so forth. And they are essentially dealing with their deceased. What takes place then is that as the Quraysh are going towards Mecca, they realize amongst them Abu Sufyan and others, who was the leader of the Quraysh army, they realized that actually, despite what just took place on the battlefield of Uhud, they didn't really accomplish any of their objectives, as we said before. So this moment of loss for the Muslims isn't actually a defeat in that sense. So yes, the Muslims were not victorious over the Quraysh in the conventional sense, and yes, they suffered loss, but it wasn't a defeat, because the main objectives of Quraysh were to destroy Medina, to kill the companions, to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to wipe out Islam so that they wouldn't have to worry about them again. And now that they're leaving, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still alive, the major companions, many of them are still alive, the city of Medina is still intact, nothing's happened to Medina, Islam is still there and it's still going to spread and it's still going to continue. And so some of the leaders of Quraysh, they say to their people, we need to regroup and we need to go back and we need to finish this job. The Muslims are down, the Muslims have suffered loss, the Muslims have suffered this grief, we need to go now and finish the job once and for all. This part of the aspect of what takes place after the Battle of Uhud, its immediate after effects and aftermath, is something which many of us don't know. And it essentially has its own name as an expedition or as a battle, and it is called Hamra al-Asad. And Hamra al-Asad, or the Battle of Hamra al-Asad, is essentially a place where those people regroup and they decide, or they decide that they were going to go back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he did as the military genius that he was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he would always send scouts. So even after the army is left, he's sending companions to scout what's going on. So they come back and they report a messenger of Allah. They're regrouping. They're not just leaving. They're not carrying on towards Mecca, but they've stopped. And it looks like they're regrouping and they may just come back to attack. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine this. He's injured. A number of his companions are injured. 70 of them have just died. And not only that, but the rest of them are in fatigue and tired after a long day of fighting and battle. It's not an easy thing to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls out and he says, I need companions, a small army to go and face them off. Go and make sure that they don't return, because they're expecting to come back all the way to Medina unopposed and then to attack again. But if we send an army out and they block them, then the Quraysh are either going to have to fight and win and then come back to Medina and fight again, or they're just going to think this is just now too much. These Muslims are coming back and it's going to be another long, bloody, hard fight. And then we have to go to Medina and fight again the defenses of the city. They may just leave. And so the Prophet ﷺ called for those companions. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal is praising here. Despite the difficulty of that day, the tiredness, the fatigue, those who responded to Allah and His Messenger after suffering the defeat that they suffered, Allah Azza wa Jal says, they are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are people of ihsan, who do good, and they have taqwa, and they will have a great reward. And so a number of the companions regrouped. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say to her nephews that your forefathers were from amongst those people that are regrouped in that army. Is Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anha and Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. So a number of the senior companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah, let us go. We'll go out and we'll ward them off. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent them out. It is called Hamra al-Asad. Those people, 173, in verse 173, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions then, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Those whose faith only increased when people said, fear your enemy, they have amassed a great army against you. And who replied, indeed Allah is enough for us, He is the best protector. Allah Azza wa Jal is praising these believers, this group of people, alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their strong iman, that despite what just took place on the battlefield of Uhud, the loss, the injury, the fatigue, the tiredness, now they're being told the Quraysh have regrouped, they're going to fight you again. And that would what that would normally do is it would cast fear. People are saying, beware, be careful, you just suffered this loss and now they're getting ready to attack you again. And so that would normally increase people in fear. But instead, what it did for them is فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It increased them in iman. It increased them in their faith and in their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, sufficient is Allah for us and He will be our protector. What a great protector, and the best protector that He is. And so they turned to Allah Azza wa Jal, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the famous companion and scholar of tafsir, he said this is the same statement, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam made when they threw him into the fire. When he was thrown into the fire, and in some narrations it is said that Jibreel alayhi salam asked him, what do you need? And Ibrahim alayhi salam said in reply, from you, nothing. But from Allah, I need His help. And so he said, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, and Allah saved him. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers said after the Battle of Uhud for this Battle of Hamra al-Asad. And so the Allah Azza wa Jalla is praising them. And so that is why it is a good dua to make in times of calamity, in times of difficulty, in times of extreme stress and so on, that when you hear this news, you say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. The Battle of Hamra al-Asad then doesn't take place, because when the Quraysh realize that the Muslim army is now coming out, they're going to fight and meet them. They're not just going to stay back and just like lick their wounds. They're going to stand up and come, and they're ready to fight all over again. Then a lot of the Quraysh say, look, it's too much. We've had too much. It's enough today. We're tired. We've done what we've done. And we just want to go back home to Mecca. And so then Abu Sufyan and the leaders, you know, if the army isn't winning, then the leaders can do very little. And so they essentially return back to Medina. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is preserving them, is showing here and honoring those companions and the believers because of that which they did. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes back to say, or goes on to say in verse 174, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, they returned with grace and bounty from Allah, no harm befell them, and they pursued Allah's good pleasure. Indeed, Allah's favor is great indeed. They turned and they returned from that battle of Hamra al-Asad with Allah's favor, with Allah's blessings. And so imagine now, after losing or suffering this loss, they went to Hamra al-Asad, the Quraysh here of the army coming, and they just continue on their way to Mecca. So no actual fighting takes place. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ. No harm befell them. There was actually no fighting that continued there. Imagine that, what that would have done for the morale of the Muslims, right? For the esteem and the confidence of the Muslims, that even after what just took place in Uhud, they've now warded off the harm of Quraysh and they've sent them running back towards Mecca. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored you. Even after you suffered what you suffered, the loss that you suffered and the grief that you saw in the Battle of Uhud, Allah Azza wa Jalla then favored you. Because immediately afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them that they are people that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not forsake, that Allah is with them, that Allah is giving to them His divine aid and help and protection subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they returned from Allah, from this battle of Hamra al-Asad, with Allah's favor, with Allah's blessings, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jalla's pleasure is indeed great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 175, إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين. But that is only Shaytan who urges you to fear his followers. Do not fear them, but fear me if you are indeed believers. That is essentially what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, that those rumors, what people will try to say, beware, the Quraysh are coming, be scared of them, be frightened, they're going to come back, they're going to attack you again. That is from Shaytan. Shaytan who comes with his whispers to try to harm the believers, to try to cast fear and terror and panic into their hearts. And so the believer, even in the times of difficulty, in times of hardship, they always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are always with Allah Azza wa Jal. And when they're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no harm can come to them. Even when people do harm them physically, they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trusting in Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And that is why it is said that some of the scholars, like for example Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, when people used to threaten him with exile, or threaten him with imprisonment, or threaten him with execution, he would say that if you execute me, that is martyrdom for me. And if you exile me, it's like I'm going on holiday, I will go and travel the world. And if you imprison me, then that allows me to have seclusion with my Lord. I can spend my time focusing on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say, my Jannah, my paradise is in my heart. My enemies can do nothing to me. And so when you have that strength of Iman, as Allah Azza wa Jalla is showing here for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for his companions radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, there was nothing that could harm them except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla safeguarded them, that even after the loss that they suffered of their brothers and the injuries that they suffered on the day of Uhud, Allah Azza wa Jalla was still with them, and He gave to them that steadfastness and their ability to overcome that most difficult of situations. And the shaitan that causes people to become depressed and downcast, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 176, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. O Prophet, do not be grieved by those who are quick to disbelieve. They will not harm Allah in the least. It is Allah's will that they will have no share or portion of the hereafter. A terrible torment awaits them instead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't be grieved by those people who try to cause you to fall down, try to cause you to become downcast, tell you that the enemies are coming to attacking you, that you should fear them, and so on. Don't be disheartened by those who are quick to disbelieve, for they will not harm Allah Azza wa Jalla in anything, and therefore they cannot harm the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has given to them His divine aid and His divine protection. but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them no portion of the hereafter, meaning that all that they think about and their whole thing is about what is in the immediacy of this life. That's everything, their decisions, their advice, their statements, their actions, all of it is to do with the dunya. For them, they have no portion of the hereafter. And that is what makes the difference between the believer and the disbeliever. The disbelievers don't believe in a resurrection, they only believe in this life, and so therefore, everything that they do is only for this life. Whereas the true believer is the one who knows that this is actually the small part of the equation. This is the temporary part of the equation. The permanent part is what comes after death. And so I would work towards what is permanent, which is essentially working for what is after my death, as opposed to focusing all of my efforts into what is limited into this dunya and in this life. And that is the difference between the believers and the disbelievers. And that is why when the Prophet ﷺ calls those companions to go to Hamra al-Asad, even after what they had gone through on the day of Uhud, those companions respond. They stand up. They're there to be counted. They are willing to come forward and to stand up and to face the enemy once again, despite the fatigue that they must have been suffering from, the tiredness, the exertion, all of that stuff that takes place in an extreme battle as they face on the day of Uhud. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla praises them. For the disbelievers, they have no portion of the hereafter. Indeed, for them is a terrible torment. In verse 177, Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues and he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who sell their faith for disbelief will not harm Allah Azza wa Jalla in any way, and agonizing torment awaits them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who disbelieve in Allah, who have turned away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, what they have done is they've made that transaction where they've sold off their iman and they have bought their disbelief. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we mentioned in previous verses, for example in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this trade-off that people make where they sell Allah's guidance, Allah's mercy, Allah's revelation, and they sell it for the paltry sum of the benefits and the adornments and the beautifications of this dunya. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that these people have sold off their iman and they have bought with it disbelief. They will not harm Allah Azza wa Jalla in any way. And that is the thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here, because people, or those people that lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh or the Munafiqeen, they thought that by the Muslims suffering these losses that they suffered on this occasion or on other occasions when a number of the companions passed away radiallahu anhum on the battlefield and so on and so forth, that would be harming Islam. It would harm the believers. It would harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this God that they claim to worship alone. They would harm Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will not harm Allah Azza wa Jal in any way. And if Allah is not harmed in any way, then his religion is protected and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has his divine protection and his awliya from the believers also have his divine protection. In verse 178, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and he says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. The disbelievers should not think that it is better for them that we gave them more time. When we give them more time, they become more sinful. A shameful torment awaits them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is amazing because it shows to us the way that Allah Azza wa Jal tells us to look at things and the perspective that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to us. The disbelievers think that they have escaped from death. Those munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they think they escaped from death by not being part of the battlefield. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that extension of your lifetime or your lifespan, if that is what you think it is, don't think that's good for you. You think that you have more time upon the earth, so you won. Not necessarily so. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. But rather we extend and prolong your time upon the earth so that you can increase upon sin. And this is also one of the wisdoms that we therefore find in common question that we often have that people ask, and that is that when we see all of the oppression that takes place across the world, all of the harm that is taking place to Muslims and to non-Muslims, all of the evil that takes place, and the perpetrators of that evil and that oppression sometimes seem to get away scot-free. Why doesn't Allah Azza wa Jalla just punish them? Why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just decree that they die? Some of them live for decades. 30, 40, 50, 60 years before they eventually die or they lose their positions and their authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His universal laws and from His wisdoms, is that He gives them more time because they increase in more sin. And by increasing in more sin, they will get a greater punishment from Allah Azza wa Jalla in the next life. And also to establish upon them the evidence that it is so clear that they cannot come back to the path of repentance and turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So if someone was to commit oppression and Allah Azza wa Jalla was to punish them immediately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah would say, "Oh Allah, you destroyed me after I committed oppression once or twice or 10 times. Maybe had you given me time, I would have repented. Oh Allah, you oppressed me. You didn't give me the chance. You didn't give me the time. You're supposed to be forgiving and merciful," and so on and so forth. And so that person would make excuses and they would consider themselves to have been hard done by. But someone who is like this for years and years, decades and decades, what possible excuse can they have? And at the same time, all the oppression that they are committing upon those people, Allah Azza wa Jalla is using that as a means of expiating their sins, of cleansing and purifying them, of giving them reward, of giving them martyrdom if they're killed in that way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to those disbelievers, those people who do that harm and evil, don't think that you've achieved anything, but rather all you're doing is increasing in more sin and oppression. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and you will have a shameful torment that awaits you on يوم القيامة. In verse 179, Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues and He says, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Nor was it Allah's aim to leave you as you were, with no separation between the good and the bad. Indeed, Allah will not show you people what is hidden. Indeed, Allah chooses as His messengers whomsoever He wills. So believe in Allah and His messengers. If you believe and stay mindful of Allah, you will have a great reward. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave your affairs and the affairs of the believers until He had separated and discerned between the pure and the evil, between the good and the bad. And that is also from the hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from His wisdom, that during these trials and during these tribulations and during these times of hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that as a means of discerning between the true people of Iman and between those people who are impure in terms of their faith, impure in terms of their actions and their motives and intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates between those people, like He did on the day of Uhud, when a third of the army returns with Abdullah ibn Ubay. It's now clear who's with the believers and who's not with the believers. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it clear for the people to understand what is the situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah Azza wa Jalla says He doesn't give to you what is hidden, meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla does not give the knowledge of the unseen to everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just simply point out and say, oh, he's a hypocrite, and that's even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew, but even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself didn't make that open, didn't publicly announce to the companions that so-and-so is a hypocrite and so-and-so is a hypocrite. In fact, it is said, as we know, that only Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, the companion, was told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the names of those hypocrites. Not even Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali radiallahu anhu or many of the other senior companions were given the names of those hypocrites. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't expose them in that way, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes them by virtue of their own deeds. So Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't just pinpoint and say, oh, he's a hypocrite, that, but no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it known and manifest because of their own deeds, their own actions, their own sayings. And that is from the justice and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than simply saying that person is a hypocrite. That person could turn around and say, I've been oppressed. That's not the case. It's not me. But when it's apparent and clear from their own words, from their own intentions, from their own actions, then they have no excuse. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah Azza wa Jalla chooses from His messengers whomsoever He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so believe in Allah and believe in all of His messengers. Indeed, if you believe and you have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you have fear and mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will have the greatest of rewards. The final verse on this page is verse 180. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Those who are miserly with that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted them out of His grace should not think that it is good for them. On the contrary, it is bad for them. Whatever they meanly withhold will be hung around their necks on the Day of Judgment. It is Allah who will inherit the heavens and the earth. Indeed, Allah is well aware of everything that you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people, because again from the characteristics and the attributes and the traits of the munafiqeen, is that they wouldn't spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal says that those who refuse to give from that which Allah bestowed upon them and blessed them with, they're miserly, they're stingy, they shouldn't think that that's good for them. Why do they think it's good for them? They think it's good because they're saving their money. They think that it's good because they don't have to go and give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's good because they keep their money with them. It's not being spent on an army or war or battle or whatever else it may be. They're keeping it and they're holding it and they're hoarding it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't think that that's good for you. بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌ لَهُمْ. Rather, that is something which is bad for you. سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You will be that which you withheld, which you were stingy and miserly with, Allah Azza wa Jalla will use it to punish you with by surrounding your necks or chaining your necks with it on Yawmul Qiyamah. And we know this to be the case even for the Muslims. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the one who refuses to pay zakah, so the Muslim who doesn't pay zakah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish them with that wealth that they refuse to give in zakah. So if it's money, they will be punished with that gold and silver, that money. And if it is livestock, it's a sheep, it's camels, it's cows that they were meant to give in zakah and they refused to do so, Allah will punish them using it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whatever it is that person withheld from zakah, from whatever wealth that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to them that zakah was due upon, and they refused to give it, Allah will use that same wealth to go and to take from them. And that is why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on the Day of Judgment, wealth will come in the form of a snake and it will bite that person over and over again and it will say, I am your wealth, I'm the one that you are hoarding. And that person will try to flee from that wealth that is attacking them. It is that which they hoarded so much. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, but rather Allah will inherit the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will inherit everything upon the heavens and the earth, and Allah is well aware of everything that you do. And with that, we come to the end of that verse and also to the end of today's episode. And ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that He makes us from amongst those people who spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill our rights of zakah and charity. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.